Last Sunday afternoon, I had a meeting, district meeting, in Joshua Tree, at Joshua Tree UMC, and I was driving on eastbound 60 freeway just before reaching to the merging point with I-10 freeway. I saw a huge billboard on the left-hand side. It says, "After you die, you will meet God." Of course, you will meet God after you die, but you can still meet God while you are alive, while you still have chance. Your earthly life matters. In some sense, your life here would be more significant than just going to heaven. This billboard message sounds more targeted to those who never met God before or those who do not believe in God. It is important that at some point in life, we need to think about the hereafter. Here is a Sunday comic, Mother Goose and Grimm from the newspaper. Mother Goose says, "Reverend, I loved your sermon on thinking more about the hereafter." Then Grimm whispers to the pastor, "It's true. Whenever she comes into a room, she stops and says, 'Now, what am I here after?'" Your hereafter or afterlife, however you imagine it, believe it, or expect it, it all means that you will be with God's eternal and peaceful presence. But that's God's reign, God's embrace, and God's control. As long as you are being alive and breathing here on this earth, you can still make your life more meaningful and more loving. For believers like us, we need to remember while we are living, God is always watching us. It's like God is watching you, so live a good life. As a matter of fact, God is watching over you while you are trying to make your life better and fruitful. Because God loves you so much. Yes, God loves you no matter who you are, or no matter what you have done, or no matter where you came from. As someone already said before, God loves you as if you are the only person in the whole universe. Wow. If God loves you that much and unconditionally, we must love one another with God's unconditional love. From this morning's 1 John lesson text, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." People tend to judge or evaluate other people by their backgrounds, social status, fame, wealth, possessions, positions, race, or outer appearance, or many other things as well. But God does not look at you that way. When God sees you, God thinks you are beautiful. You are precious. No matter what. He accepts you and welcomes you the way you are. God is not concerned with how you look on the outside. God is much more concerned about what's inside. 1 Samuel 16, 7 says, "The Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the," what? "Heart." God wants us to have a heart like His. A heart that reaches out and loves all people, regardless of their looks or their differences. It's God's unconditional love. This morning's scripture lesson is from John, 1 John, and its message, the whole message, is loud and clear. God is love, and let us love one another. From this 1 John passage, we might say the key word would be love, right? How many times the word love is written? 27 times. If you add beloved, it'll be 29 times. Wow! Within that short passage. And what would be the next important word is abide. From 1 John, is this passage, oh, wow, 6 times. Then this word abide is also mentioned many times in the Gospel of John, especially chapter 15. John 15, 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Abiding in Christ's love. This is so crucial and essential in our Christian life. Verse 12 from 1 John. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. Physically or visibly, we cannot see God, but when we love one another, God is with us, among us, in the midst of our community. The challenge is loving always involves other people, other person. We say, "I love you," "I love my family," or "I love him," or "I love her," right? But if you say, "I love me," sounds selfish and awkward. Of course, loving yourself is important and basic, but by itself alone, it would not be a complete love in God. That's why we must actively love one another for the people we are helping, maybe Jesus himself. We never know. Or angel. Remember Cleopas and the other disciple who were heading to Emmaus. They could not recognize Jesus at first because they were so preoccupied with their thoughts and emotions while they were walking. But when Jesus was blessing the bread, their eyes were opened and recognized him as the risen Jesus Christ. Then what happened? Jesus vanished from their sight. Because even without seeing the actual physical appearance, their faith had been already strengthened, renewed, and affirmed. So from that moment on, they became bolder, stronger, and more active than ever for spreading the good news. They began their new life of abiding in God's love. Verse 16 from 1 John, "God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them." The Gospel of John 15:4 says, "Abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Abiding is staying or dwelling. We need to stay in God's love. Then God also stays in us. We love because He, God, first loved us. Verse 19. Let me share with you a story of a young boy. A young boy spent many, many hours building a little sailboat, crafting it down to the finest detail. He then took it to the nearby river to sail it. When he put it in the water, however, it moved away from him very quickly. Though he chased it along the bank, he couldn't keep up with it. The strong wind and current carried the boat away. The heartbroken boy knew how hard he would have to work to build another sailboat. Farther down the river, a man found a little boat, took it to town, and sold it to a shopkeeper. Later that day, as the boy was walking through the town, he noticed the boat in a store window. Entering the store, he told the owner that the boat belonged to him. It had his own little marks on it, but he couldn't prove to the shopkeeper that the boat was his. The man told the boy the only way he could get the boat was to buy it. The boy wanted it back so badly that he did exactly that. As he took the boat from the hand of the shopkeeper, he looked at it and said, "My little boat, you are twice mine. I made you and I bought you." In the same way, we are twice God's. Our Heavenly Father both created us and paid a great price for us. With the blood of His Son, Jesus, we have been redeemed and reunited with God. Jesus Christ gave His life to get us back because He loves us so much. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. John 3:16. Just as God loves you so much, God also loves everyone else in the whole world, my friends. As of now, the whole world's population is nearly 7.7 billion people. We are many, so many. We are all different in many, many ways. Yet God so loved the world. And God still loves us so much. Our congregation is like a miniature world representing so many countries. Yes, we all came from many places all over the world. If you were born in the United States, but your parents, your great-parents or grandparents or great-grandparents or so forth, your ancestors, they came from all of the places in the whole world. Last Sunday, remember I did a mini survey, right, on your native countries. If you are not born in USA, which country is your, country and which country your ancestors came from, forefathers. There are about 200 countries in the whole world. Among our congregation alone, we have more than 24 countries. Look at those flags. I hope you can identify, if I point out certain flag, you can recognize those countries. Let us be grateful to God for our blessings to be part of those beautiful countries. It is God's grace that unites us in one spirit and in one body. By the way, thanks so much for the... I invite you, probably I didn't mention it, but I just wrote in the bulletin. If you wish, you are invited to bring a loaf of bread representing a certain country. I'm looking at American bread, Italian, French, and some certain other. Thanks to all of you. I hope that our hunger ministry will take them to the homeless shelter so that we can make the present them, even though it's not much, but still I'm sure it'll be a blessing. God's love shown on the cross through Christ creates unity in the midst of diversity. There is a beautiful hymn called Marching to Zion. It's the United Methodist Hymnal 733. We'll be singing as a closing hymn soon. Its refrain goes like this: we are marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Last week there was a Tuesday Bible study, and we were studying the book of Psalms, the textbook immersion Bible studies chapter we were on was Marching to Zion. Where is Zion? Of course, I'm not talking about Zion National Park in Utah. It's beautiful too. Throughout the Old Testament, especially in several Psalms, the word Zion is repeatedly appearing. Zion traditionally refers to the city of God. Yes, it's Jerusalem. It is in the special physical location sense. That's why many people, especially Christians, enjoy trips to the Holy Land as pilgrims. That's wonderful if you can have a Holy Land trip. Of course, Zion is Jerusalem, which has a wonderful meaning, foundation of shalom, peace. Zion is more than the city of Jerusalem. Zion symbolizes a safe spiritual homeland. Zion meant and still means heaven, where there is no pain, no suffering, no tears, no sorrows. Zion, especially for Christians, signifies new heaven and new earth. Is God's reign, God's kingdom. So marching to Zion means we are pursuing God's peace and love because we are all children of God. Regardless our color, our shape, our culture, our language, our background, and many other differences. Today, as we celebrate World Communion Sunday, along with all the Christians around the world, let us remember and be grateful that God so loved the world. Thankfully, the world includes you, each and every one of you. God so loved you, and God still loves you, that He gave His only Son, Jesus, so that you will have eternal life here and now and hereafter. Thus, the verse 21 is my conclusion. Let's all read together. The commandment we have from Him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Thanks be to God. Amen.